My love, tell me what it's all about, you know?
Good morning, AJ! Got a text that said, been missing y'all, just patiently waiting for 7:30.
Hey.
And let me just tell you how big of a deal it is for me to see a text before we start that has anything to do with us.
Uh-oh.
Did you? Yes, I saw it. I'm never late, okay?
Okay.
And in news no one can use, good morning, Rudo. Rudo says, good morning and happy all caps in bold Black History Month. Enjoy my interaction. It is my gift to you. Finally, it's worth something, I guess.
Good old Rudy.
Indeed, it is Black History Month. Currently accepting all gifts and U.S. dollars.
Currently accepting all gifts and gifts, because she is a farmer of those.
Oh, I'm not accepting those right now.
No, you're
talking
you're
about USDs, baby. You want to show your appreciation for a Black person, you got to give them some money right now.
You reached your gift quota. You're good.
I thought you were saying GIF, like .gif.
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in the instance of GIF and gift, call it a GIF, which is apparently its true name.
Oh, I hate that.
It's government name. Just so I know what we're saying.
No, it makes sense.
I farm the GIFs.
We do?
Always accept the gifts. Okay. Favorite gifts right now, USDs.
All right. All right. I appreciate the clarification.
Does that work?
Yeah, it really does.
Didn't even waste any of our time. You know? Happy Thursday.
I'm going to add AJ back to the contacts. You take it away.
Oh, well, I'm tired. You're tired. We're all tired together. Are we not?
Guys, I think I took too much melatonin last night. Oh, no. I have quite the busy day today. I know.
That's going to be rough yeah. McStuffins.
Yeah. It's going to be some, oof, wake it up, brother.
Quite the busy day for both of us in different ways. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that we have had to travel separately.
To the station.
To the station.
Yeah. They're out of here afterwards. Rockets shooting in different directions.
No messing around. I'm out of here. Next state, please.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be honest. I'm tired of Washington. I'm tired of that place. I don't get to see Portland, Oregon, hardly any at all anymore.
Well, we're down in the dumps, so you should be happy.
Well, that's true. And Vancouver is obviously a pinnacle of safety and security and wealth, I think.
Because you guys have a Batman.
Well, there is a Vancouver Batsy.
Yeah.
I have not seen him in a while.
It's cold. He's like, I'm about to do this crap.
Pretty worried about where his Batcave is, you know?
You should be worried about the safety now in Vancouver, now that Batman's disappeared. Like,
well, that's the thing. Where's his cave? Because I feel like he's gotten real warm. He forgot that there was, you know,
crime to
an
fight.
Outside.
Yeah.
That's cold and, you know,
and now,
maybe he could also invite people into the Batcave because
maybe
it's so cold and there are a lot of people. We only hear about Portland's houseless population, but there's quite a few people in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Without
Batman patrolling those Vancouver streets, Vancouver will soon become what Portland is today. Cesspool of crime and crime.
Potham.
Corruption. What did you say?
Potham.
Potham. Potham indeed.
I wonder what we'll call Vancouver. Not going to get a cute name out of that one.
No.
Vantucky is taken. So, Anywho. What are we talking about today, everybody asks? It's all local, baby. Mm-hmm. Portland Housing Bureau. Are you guys sitting down? Are you standing up? If you're standing up, are you in the position that you could do like a jump kick and still be okay?
Bruh.
Because even if you heard this headline or heard the local coverage, like, the Housing Bureau uncovers millions more money in unspent funds. And I'm going to say one more time, it's the Housing Bureau. And y'all, we have I won't go too.
Like, I want to jump into it.
I won't. I do, because it really honestly is breaking my brain. But we will. Okay, so there's one story. Second story. ICE continues escalating violence in Portland. Tear gas, tons of it. Violence, tons of it. Over the weekend, after the weekend. Mm-hmm. Right now, probably.
It's their fave.
I don't know how we keep getting into this same place where we're talking about how you can't use tear gas while it's being used, but
here we are.
Welcome back to 2020. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. So those are our stories of the day. And Ambush, you were telling me about an AI conversation that may be getting skewed.
It's heating up, man. It is heating up out there. So I'm not sure. I think there's a couple different fronts on this, right? So we remember around BBL Drizzy, maybe shortly before that, there was a lot of AI content. Consumer-made AI content that was popping up on the web. People doing different art styles, digitizing themselves, also creating songs, which led to...
In different genres.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which led to the classic, which is BBL Drizzy.
Yes.
It seems as though now there's a new... I don't want to say new, but there's a popular art style template that's being used right now that a lot of people online are just jumping to use to create, whether it's caricatures of themselves or, you know, promotional artwork, things like that. And now there seems to be a conversation between the consumer base, about, hey, man, this is your irresponsible use of AI is causing damage to communities, especially, you know, the Black communities in which these data farms are located, and just talking about the environmental impact and things of that nature. I was always very, very interested in AI, just, you know, from a sci-fi standpoint. So when this stuff started coming out and we had access to it, it's always the idea of how much access do we really have, you know, with any of these emerging technologies. You know, how much of the consumers really have access to? And we always hear, you know, by the time it gets in our hands, it's already like 10-year-old tech. The tech's that old.
Right.
Not that it's for 10-year-olds. So I'm seeing this resurgence, like I said, of this art style, and people are getting at each other's throats about it. And I'm like, I remember when recycling became a thing for us on the East Coast, and then also... like in my 30s, like really being around people that were like conscious about recycling. And a lot of that was even more so once we moved out here, because back home, yeah, they distributed recycling containers at one point, but there was no one coming to pick it up. So everything just went in the trash. We just had this blue trash can in our garages, and it just sat there. We kind of used it to store other things in.
Like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I definitely remember us putting like extra garden hoses in that blue trash
can. Reusing.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah, there it is. Multi-purpose. Sure. Reuse, for sure. Oh. And when I started to learn more about how recycling actually worked, and more so the amount of pollution created by us, the consumers, versus what's done by industry, And it was broken down to me in a way that's like, wow, like we aren't really having an environmental impact. They're telling us, make sure that, you know, we are recycling, make sure we're buying LED light bulbs and watch your water consumption and da 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 da. And really, it's agriculture. It's these major industries that are tearing the planet apart. Some would argue that, well, it's based on the goods and services that they're providing to us, the consumer, which is why, you know, they are forced to conduct things the way they are.
Yeah, I mean, when I buy laundry detergent, I also want it to have gone in my water first.
Of course.
I'm just asking for that as a consumer.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah.
So with AI, the first time it came around, there was this conversation about the artists that are being disenfranchised, the artists whose work is being stolen by the AI, by the algorithms, by these programs. And that people who aren't artists are getting free artwork done for them. This time around, the conversation, like I was saying, has been more environmentally focused. People arguing with each other about the impact. And I want to like redirect the conversation in two ways. One, can we please take it back to remembering that every time you're doing that, an artist's work is being sampled. Several artists' works are being sampled to create that art for you. So you are indeed stealing other people's art. And it's being done.
Yeah, but this is capitalism, so that's no big deal.
This is true.
That's just, you know, free use, sure, fair use, sure. Clip art, something.
Something. Yeah. And... yes, while there are environmental impacts every time we use AI, much like the recycling situation and pollution in general, our impact isn't the same as industry. So
negligible in comparison.
We actually, yes.
Yeah.
So went ahead and did a little research yesterday. Consumer AI like chatbots, image generators use less energy per use, but the sheer number of people using it pushes up total energy demand. Commercial AI is heavier across the board, more power, more water for cooling, and more hardware, even though fewer people interact with it directly. So consumer AI adds up, commercial AI hits hard, but commercial AI is worse in every environmental category, whereas consumer AI does drive demand through scale. I think the final part of that analysis is commercial AI and the industries that are pioneering it. They are the ones in charge of the infrastructure. Just like you said with the detergent, they're the ones that determine what the environmental impact is. And their usage weighs way heavier than ours. So while we're sitting here complaining with each other, arguing with each other about who's doing what to the environment, we've already forgotten the artist. We've already completely, they're out of the equation now. We're not even talking about them anymore. And the industries that are driving AI right now are not even being held accountable in any way in this conversation that we're having with each other. And also through legislation, they just are not being held accountable.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure, you know, that was my whole thing. As I was watching it from the sidelines, like, ooh. Man, this is going bad. Hey guys, they do this all the time. They have us fighting with ourselves for things that they are in charge of. So yeah, that's what I've been, and happy for you that you haven't, you know, had to see any of this muck and mire on your interwebs. But it's all over the place, man.
Well, like I said, you got to get on there to know anything about what a timeline does.
True,
you know?
That.
And right now, the last 3 weeks have been incredibly hard. Is it three? Four? I don't know. I didn't know four. January was over.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that something?
For, you know, at least 5 days. And today's the fifth, so. Doing great over here.
So Monday night, you were barely in it. Did we even say happy Black History Month on Monday Night Show?
I have no idea. Did Monday happen?
Where was Monday?
When was Monday?
What day was Monday this week?
Yeah. It's been rough. So I've been missing a lot. I've been purposely listening to a lot of, fake dramas, the things going on in the rap world, the Grammys, Everybody Hates Kendrick Lamar, I guess. Well, not everybody, obviously, but, you know, cause he's a winner. I guess we don't like winners anymore.
It's all like Jay. Oh, winners are bad word
winners,
now.
Winners are a bad word now. Yeah, you know. 10 Grammys in 2 years is bad now. Now I'm a Grammy darling who only wins.
Wow.
The only people that win are from the West Coast. I mean, we're just living in the land of anyone on the internet could be 15 or fake. Like, it's just like, I'm absolutely tired. So that's
it's dangerous.
The exhaustion I have for all things that just are not
real. Yeah. Exhaustion you have for all things that are foolishness.
Yeah. But you know, if you're gonna take some in, sometimes you don't want it to be Donald Trump. You want it to be J. Cole. You know? What's his foolishness today? It's quite foolish, you know? Sometimes that's a little more fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. I definitely can imagine.
Yeah. You brought me something that...
It's glorious.
Yeah, actually. And to, you know, not sound just like the comments, but it was definitely like a, oh, the kids are all right kind of moment.
I'd say so.
Yeah. But I like your setup of this, so I don't want to step on it.
Picture it. I believe it was a Tuesday morning. Alarm goes off at 8 o'clock. What do? I hit the snooze. 8:09 minutes later.
8:09.
Pop up my phone and I start scrolling. And what do I see? What is this? Is this a bonus scene from Weapons? Is this an alternate ending? Oh, I feel sorry for anyone who hasn't seen that film. This is a spoiler of sorts. So anyways, some kids in Texas, high school students in Texas, are protesting ICE. They did a walkout. Governor Abbott already was none too happy about that. Your walkout to kids. We're going to look into creating legislation that will
make it so you can't do that.
That will defund any schools that allow their students to disrupt the school day in such a manner.
Yeah, because that's what protest means, that the administration was like, don't.
Right.
Or, I mean, go for it. Although, I guess, yeah, maybe they did.
He's such a heel. So, a MAGA supporter pulls up on these kids, hops out of his truck.
Seems silly already.
Yeah. Red hat ablaze. And he's doing the whole, you know, bumping chest. Hey, what? You want some one piece of me? These are children. These are children. And grown
this,
man.
This is a grown up.
This is a 45-year-old grown up. This
is somebody's dad at a rival school.
Definitely. Or at least someone's drunk uncle.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, that turns into him getting in a... creating a physical altercation with himself and this young lady.
Teenage girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
He tries to physically fight this teenage girl.
They're rolling around in the dirt at this point. And you know what our classmates did? They jumped them. They got in on it. You know what was really bad? You ever like play fight with like nieces, nephews? And little kids, they got these little, their fists are really sharp.
It's all knuckle.
Because it's, yeah, they're so small, right? And it gets in places where you're like, oh, I didn't know there was a space between those two ribs. How'd you get your fist in there? This man.
Plenty of space now.
One Chad Michael Watts found himself on the receiving end of many, many high school fists.
And feet.
And feet. Yeah, they put the beat, they put the paws on, they put the beat to him.
It looked as if he got swallowed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And he couldn't, he was having a hard time getting himself out of that.
He definitely was. He definitely was. Initially, there were going to be no charges, as it was reported. The police were like, well, it looks like, you know, there was... Both parties were responsible for this, you know, so we're going to chill out. And that's not, and then, of course, Governor Abbott said what he said. And then there was a judge, Judge Ruben Becerra, said the protests initially appeared peaceful and condemned the adult's actions. Mm. No matter one's political views, an adult bears a clear responsibility to exercise restraint, especially in the presence of children. Adding that violence or intimidation towards minor during a lawful demonstration has no place in the constitutional republic. It's like the governor forgot that. No. Law enforcement also forgot that. So warrant goes out and it's like, we have to pick up Chad Michael Watts. That's his name. That's the 45-year-old that decided he wanted to get it popping with the high school girl and try to beat her up. Chad Michael Watts. Chad's like, holy crap, I hear they're looking for me. So what does he do? What any person who fights teenagers would do. He shaves his head and mustache. He shaves all hair from his shoulders up.
I mean...
Sideburns, gone. Goatee, gone. Mustache, gone.
Eyebrows. Oh.
You know what? I think he did retain his eyebrows.
Here's the thing. If you really want to look like somebody else, shave your eyebrows.
Shave your eyebrows, bro.
If you want
to
go,
that's a way to do it.
I'm unrecognizable. No one's going to know it's me.
Bruh.
Shave the eyebrows. Do that first, fam. You might even get to keep your facial hair to keep it.
You really might. Shave it. Boom. All of a sudden, you're a mutant. Bam. Kalisto.
Okay.
No, not Kalisto, but the other one. But yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
That.
Yeah. I'm saddened that I forgot his name. But yeah.
So he, Jason Bourne's, and you know.
I forgot to tell you how I know that he shaved his face.
Oh, please do.
Because his mugshot, if you could see in his mugshot, hey, you look different from when you were beating on that kid and got jumped by those other kids. Wow. Wait, this is a mugshot, so it did not prevent them from finding you.
Mm.
Oopsies.
It appears they found you.
They found you, Chad. Oh, glorious. If you guys haven't seen this video, it is definitely in our stories on Instagram. There are some longer versions that show him pulling up and getting out of the car and all of that, getting out of his truck, you know.
Well, well, well. Finally, Bruto is taking time out to read something of note. On this fifth day of Black History, one Bruto, a tenured fiancé.
He is tenured, for sure.
And I'm not going to say... This is actual proof of him reading this book, but like...
There's proof of a photo of him. It's proof of him holding it.
There's proof of him holding a book. Mm-hmm. James Baldwin's Nothing Personal. I'm going to say... Harple will tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Has he, in fact, read this book?
I think he's holding it for research purposes.
Oh, boy.
Not reading it. Just
he's
holding it.
He's saying, I have a Black author in my home.
Hello.
Happy Black History Month.
And he's got access to so many books.
Oh, yeah. He could be at work right now. Yeah. I can't even tell. This could be going all downhill from here. Which reminds me of Lizzo.
Oh, guys. Guys, have you... Lizzo. Wow. Ooh, hold it.
Can someone come help? I mean, sis just barely made it out of like a sexual assault scandal or something.
Right.
And a HR nightmare, a employment scandal. And I believe she won her lawsuits, you know?
Oh, all right. Because it was our backup dancers that were suing, right?
I believe so.
Oh, you got them lawyers, B.
If you haven't heard, and I don't know if, you know, Lizzo is someone that pops up in your timeline. Not normally mine, but...
Certainly not mine.
Usually when she says something wild, which we all just go, wow, so... Silence was not an option for this, huh? And this is one of those moments, just another one of those moments where she decided to jump on top of Beyonce's internet and say, regarding the Epp files, if you steal an apple from Walmart, does that mean that everybody in your phone is an accomplice? Does that mean that every contact you've ever had is complicit in your theft of the apple from Walmart?
Lizzo. No.
Do you think Ghislaine Maxwell woke up every day and trafficked people? You can't honestly think that.
Lizzo, let's say she woke up one day a week. Say trafficking was just her... I don't know, Thursday thing, like us on the radio. Does that make it better? Dunce work. This is just, what are we talking
well,
about?
Well, first of all, I'd counter with, in fact, she did, because it was, in fact, her job.
Full-time benefits.
Full-time.
601K.
But not a 601. on call. Okay. 24/7, 365, we take no breaks. As in fact, as I'm taking a break, if I get a call, I'm up. I've upped my pups and I'm getting to it.
Sleep is for the weak, bro.
You know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Gotta grind. You mean to tell me you can't understand that that's what a sex trafficker gets up every day and does that? That's their job. Also, to Ambush's point, sure, okay, would one day a week, that's not enough to call him that? Not enough to worry about? That's just part-time apple stealing. we don't need to worry about that. Those apples are just, you know, 13-year-old girls, 10-year-old boys, but, you know, not something we really need to worry about. Apples to apples.
Apples to children. Girl.
I don't understand what is happening. Like, what did you... Who told you to do that?
Juco Ta-Nehisi.
Was silence not an option? Who told you to... Who? Why? What conversation? She's always sweaty, too. So it's like you just finished working out. And is this... You know, sometimes you have like a brilliant thought in the shower or something. Is this what she thinks is happening? The endorphins are going. She's working out and she's like, I've got a brilliant thought.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Never thought about it that way.
I mean, if honestly, if you really think about it, if you steal an apple from Walmart, what? Stop. I'm sorry. I screamed in your ears.
Hard stop.
Hard stop. Be for real.
For once. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Halen Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Listen, man.
Now,
you're saying everything I was thinking. When I first saw it, again, it was one of these first thing in the morning. And I was like, wait, no. We're not back.
What exactly could she be saying right now?
Lizzo, what do you mean? What do you mean? Also, it's a very sus thing to do in any shape, form, or fashion to come to the defense of child sex traffickers. Are you connected to someone who was in the Epstein files? Like, what? In Black History Month, what are we doing? What?
I'm just really not understanding the impulse in any way to, like you said, to run any cover whatsoever.
No.
I cannot understand any contrarian position. I do not understand why anybody would jump in front of PDF bullets, you know?
Nah, for real.
Trafficking bullets. Like, why is that the hill?
Why do you even have any interest in commenting publicly for that? Like,
if that's your commentary, if your thought is honestly, what's the big deal?
Right. Right.
Or if your thought is like, hey guys, this is getting a little out of hand. Like, all of those people named aren't, you know,
PDFs.
Right. Or traffickers or, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know why she wants to, you know, jump. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I do understand trying to give perspective in something that is like, you know, like on Monday I was trying to rein in. There's 18 million different conspiracies surrounding all of this right now.
Oh, the files.
Yes. That, yeah. And there's a lot of incredibly wild, what sounds completely, you know, fantastical, would never happen. This is in a different realm kind of thing that I think makes a lot of, you know, the spidey senses go, wait a minute, there's something there for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's the wrong impulse. It's what are you looking at? What is it that your spidey senses are making you go down? And did you, you know, get to, if at the bottom of it all, you're like, Epstein didn't do anything, but right. XYZ happened, you know, the aliens took over the something.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. I mean, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, for me, it's always about the irresponsible use of one's platform and how when it comes to moments like this, people want to say, well, you know, I'm just a person having a thought. No, you have millions of followers. And in some cases, some of you have armies. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have social media armies. Mm. You know that. You plead with these people. You have relationships with these people in the way that, you know, they support your music. They support your whatever your art is, whatever your discipline is. They are there to support. And then you want to be able to run cover for yourself and say, hey, I'm just like everyone else. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud and I should be given the space. Fam, you have created a platform. You have to use it responsibly. Some of these things should not escape the WhatsApp or the group chat, period. Period. And you need to be just as loud with whatever correction you're going to make further down the road as you are in this irresponsible, very, very irresponsible statement, assessment, high thought, whatever this was. Like, bro, that's just... Lizzo, if you gave anyone else a talking point, if you gave a single person a talking point such as that during Black History Month that they are now using in their own text threads, in their own group chats, and at their own, you know, lunch tables, you're responsible, bro. Like, this is nasty. It's so silly because there was no requirement for this to happen. None. Zero.
No, just a choice made. Run cover for some incredibly wealthy, powerful people that are alleged of doing some very incredibly dastardly, disgusting, awful, horrible things. Yeah, that seems like what you should do on a Tuesday.
What do you guys think? Do you think this is an indicator that she may somehow be implicated? a friend of a friend.
Well, we find out that she's friends with Ghislaine.
Right.
And is like, guys, do you think she did that all the time?
Come on.
Like, my bestie.
Dude, I know for a fact, when we were purse shopping, we were just purse shopping.
There were no kids there.
Those were her assistants. They were not being trafficked.
Oh, boy. They were.
Bruh. They
definitely were.
Oh, my goodness. So, are you looking forward to Lizzo's next project?
I've never heard a Lizzo project.
All right. Good on you.
It's all I got.
It's all I got. It's all me got.
So, I have a question of the day.
Yeah.
In variations, because I think, you know, it speaks to our story.
Okay.
To one of our stories. So I'm going to ask the question before we do the story and before the music break in hopes that y'all will, over the music break, chime in. What's the biggest fiscal mistake you've made at work? I hope I'm saying this right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the biggest mistake you've made at work with money? And what was the repercussion?
It's called repercussion, babe.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm from here. That's how I talk. I think people understood what I was getting at. You know? Magnate.
MAGA. I see where you're going. I'm from here. Magnate.
No, you don't see. But both your fingers down. Absolutely not.
A little anti-immigrant is all direct, I'm saying.
And absolutely not. Don't play with me. Big Morg, not the little one, okay?
All right.
You don't want me.
I'm apologize.
De-icer over here, okay? Get him out.
Hey, I am not trying to get a storyline off you right now.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Shoot. So when we come back from the break, we're going to go into the story about the Portland Housing Bureau, you know, cleaning out a closet, finding out a whole bunch more money. I don't know if this was in the dryer, like when I find my couple of bucks. Or, you know, a coat pocket. Where you're like, dang, I haven't worn that coat in like a year. And then
$15 million.
Sometimes you find $15 million in the coat pocket.
What's that doing in there?
What's that duffel bag? $20.7 million? I'm just sitting here.
You know, I forgot all about that $20 million.
I forgot to turn that in.
I forgot to turn that into something.
Yeah, no, well, I was supposed to drop it off at work and then I forgot. Now it's just sitting here in my closet.
You know what I should do with it? I should take it to another department. Yeah, I know where I work needs it, but let me just, you know, let's take it somewhere else. Let's spread it around. Don't the police need more money?
Okay. So the question of the day, what's the biggest fiscal mistake you've made at work? And what was the repercussion?
Or at home.
The repercussion. I mean, I guess it, the reason I'm saying at work is this is.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't at somebody's home.
No,
this
big.
Is taking away the ability for people to have one.
Yeah, this is big jobbing.
But this is work happening in what are incredibly important bureaus that claim to be doing work to keep people off the street and in houses. And then somehow we lost some money.
Yeah.
We whoopsie doodled nearly 40 mil. So I just want to know what's the biggest mistake you've made monetarily at work, and what was the punishment, if there were one, I suppose.
That is some serious back fumbling. Serious. All right, we're gonna hop into this music break and we'll be right back. What do you know about that fabulous jazz stylings of Billy Brooks? That was 40 Days by Billy Brooks. You know why I love that song so much?
Why's that?
Because it is sampled by A Tribe Called Quest for Lucky Lucian, which is one of my absolute favorite Tribe Called Quest songs, primarily because of the use of the sample. I could listen to the loop all day long. It's great. But you guys didn't tune in for that.
Partly.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the show is news and music, you know?
Listen here, guys. You are tuned in to News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Tune in. You've already tuned in.
So. Wow. Okay.
Okay. All right.
We're not awake yet, is what Ambush is letting you know, and that's fine. I'll do some cleanup. Good morning, Michelle. I just want to let you know real quick that I literally was like, where is Michelle? And get the text. Good tired morning, which, again, always knowing exactly where I am.
No, that's right.
Said I accidentally sent your text to the neighbor, but I've been here. Michelle, I feel everything about that text message.
I know, that's right.
I was trying to send Lily a text message last night. Sent it to Ambush.
Yes. And I would normally have responded with some measure of humor, like I do for scammers. But I was like, she's having a tough day. I'm gonna leave it be.
But yeah, I appreciated it.
Yeah.
You did laugh react.
I did.
Yeah.
We got some love from an 808 number. Love you guys. Awesome issues. Thank you. Hail to the Texas high school protesters.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Is 808 Hawaii?
I'm not sure. And Billy Joe says, leaving one to two jobs for greener pastures and finding more fences to climb. Good morning, Billy.
Oh, yeah, that is that an answer to the biggest fiscal mistake? Because you leave, you've got the horizon, and then it's like, psych, here's this ladder. You got to keep, oh, man.
Quite possibly. We're not question of the day back.
So question of the day today, because curious, what's the biggest fiscal mistake you've made at work, and what was the repercussion? We'll just jump right into this story.
Well, Rudo did answer, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Rudo said, oh, they don't let me play with any money.
Smart.
There'll be no fiscal mistakes on his end.
Well, then you tell us the ones you saw. Because I know you saw them.
Turn the other way.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that he turned the other way. I'm just saying that's an observant fellow.
No, quite. You know? Quite.
So what'd you see out there? I just know that I have made some pretty sizable mistakes,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the ticketing world
mm-hmm.
that can cost a lot of money.
Can cost, but did it end up costing a lot of money?
I'm sure I did cost folks money, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what, I mean, some mistakes are that. They cost money.
Yeah.
I've never made $1 million or multi-million dollar mistake.
Oh, Morgan, come on. Come on.
I'm not saying that I'm better than any.
What? I'm saying what's a couple mil here or there?
Huh? I'm saying I wouldn't know. I'm saying when I see all those millions and the extra zeros and stuff in the spreadsheets I'm working on, I don't want any of the red to have MJ's initials next to it. Okay? That's what I mean.
I don't have access to those fields.
I don't want to accidentally type the wrong. We've gone from, you know,
yeah.
16 to 26 million on accident in revenue. No, absolutely
no.
not.
No. Mm-mm.
But, you know, I don't know. Throwing money in a drawer is also a possibility. So the Portland Housing Bureau, for the umpteenth time, uncovers millions more in unspent funds.
Can you believe it?
Deepening oversight questions and concerns. The Portland Housing Bureau has identified additional unspent funds in its accounts, adding to the roughly $21 million in surplus revenue uncovered last year and intensifying scrutiny of the city's financial oversight. While the precise amount mm-hmm. remains unclear, City Council President Jamie Dunphy said the newly discovered money totals in the millions and is likely less than the previously identified $21 million. In a February 3rd press release, Dunphy said two accounts alone hold at least $15 million apiece, though a full accounting is still underway.
Morgan, the money was unaccounted for, right? There was $21 million last quarter, starting off fresh and new. First quarter, another $15
million. Yeah.
I just need one. I just need one. what in the realm of $36 million?
Yeah.
What's a mil? Knock boom. $35 million used, guys. 35 unaccounted for. Where'd that other million go? Huh?
Unaccounted for.
It's unaccounted for, used guys.
I'm gonna go ahead and continue the story.
I bank with On Point.
Here's my routing. Dunphy said the funds appear to be tied to legacy accounting practices rather than deliberate concealment. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh whilst trying to read the story, but like, in all honesty, okay. Like,
you could never get away with that at your job. You could never say, I'm sorry, you guys, these were legacy accounting practices. That's not really me.
I wasn't doing it on purpose.
It's the legacy of accounting.
It's how accounting happened here before I was here.
Yeah.
And so now I just do the bad accounting because that's how I was trained, which all of that is a thing, right? That is a thing. If you see, let me finish the story, Ambush, before we start giving
I'm sorry. Your question of the day, just, and you saying legacy accounting made me remember an accounting that got me fired based on legacy accounting. Okay. I can't wait to tell you this story. Retell you this story. Yeah.
Okay. The newly discovered revenue comes from the city's transient lodging tax paid by hotels and booking platforms and short-term rental fees from operators such as Airbnb. Dunphy said the lodging tax account holds at least $5 million, some of which may have already been earmarked. What does it matter? He lost it. While short-term rental fees total at least $10 million and are legally restricted to affordable housing and homelessness-related uses. The discovery comes just weeks after city leaders learned that the rental services office had accumulated about $21 million in landlord-paid fees.
Wow.
Between 2021 and 2024 without reporting the balance to city council. I just said, well, you don't probably need to know about that.
There's got to be at least two people to fire for that.
That revelation prompted calls for greater transparency and has now triggered broader reviews across bureaus. City spokesperson Cody Bowman said staff began a comprehensive review after the initial surplus was identified and are preparing documentation detailing the fund's sources, legal constraints, and potential uses. The additional money could significantly affect two major policy debates before the city council this week. I feel like this could always be the case.
Yeah.
We're always talking about it.
Always.
And then, found it. Councilors are set to consider a resolution Wednesday that would launch an investigation into when city administrators became aware of the initial surplus and why the council was not informed until after a November budget adjustment addressing an $18 million shortfall.
What do you know?
I got to tell you, the gun seems purposeful.
I'm going to ride with you on that.
I got $21 million over here. Y'all need $18. Nah, I ain't got it.
I ain't seen it.
The newly identified funds could also influence negotiations over a contentious homelessness prevention package known as Slow the Inflow.
I came up with that, by the way.
Unfortunate. Yeah. Which has divided counselors over whether to prioritize rent assistance or allocate a portion to a 230-unit affordable housing project managed by Prosper Portland.
They be prospering.
Excuse me. Some counselors say the growing tally of unspent funds raises troubling questions about governance under the city's new charter. Councillor Loretta Smith called for a comprehensive audit of all bureaus, saying the repeated discoveries suggest systemic failures in communication between the administrative branch and elected officials. I think it shows more failures than communication, but...
For sure.
Quote, I am deeply troubled by the possibility that departments may be withholding vital information about or from the council, Smith said, adding that the city's financial systems have not adapted to the new form of government. The unfolding controversy has its roots in an audit initiated in mid-2025 under then Housing Bureau Director Helmi Hissarish, who later resigned amid disputes over responsibility for the unreported funds. Mm-hmm. Internal disagreements about when top officials learned of the surplus and whether the information was withheld during the budget process are expected to be central to a proposed oversight hearing, which could come become the first held under the city's new charter. With councilors set to vote Thursday on how to allocate the funds, the latest discovery has further complicated an already fraught debate over transparency, accountability, and how Portland addresses its housing and homelessness crisis. Because I just read that story, I'm going to try and not bulldoze. Mm-hmm. Please, ambush your thought.
Utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. Your question of the day was... what's the largest financial mistake that you've made at your job? And what were the repercussions?
Correct.
The amount of the financial mistake that was made at my job was $27.
Okay. The repercussions was
me being fired.
Did you steal $27 worth of apples from Walmart?
I did not. Oh. It was indeed legacy accounting. I will give to you.
Oh.
So my store manager, his name was Michael, and there were three other managers. There was another manager at the time. His name was Paul. I was the assistant manager. Well, Paul was the assistant manager. I was a supervisor at the time. When doing accounting, closing out the tills at the end of the night, and I'm sorry, you guys, these were the glorious years I spent running a Boston Market. So anyways. So you're counting out your cashiers at the end of the night. Sometimes the numbers are off and it's over, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? In order to make the till even out, you take that overage and you put it in the safe. Yeah. Or you put it in this box on the top shelf outside of the safe.
Oh.
In case what the regional supervisor comes in and they do a count. If you said the tills make sense... let's make sure the safe makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's keep it outside the safe so the safe still makes sense. I've done this practice for years at this point. Now we have new management. Janine is the main manager and Mary Ann is the assistant manager and I'm still supervisor. Janine and Mary Ann have a very contentious work relationship. They are constantly at each other's throats.
Yikes.
Janine is a very bossy and disrespectful woman in the way that she tries to get people to work a lot on her. She would overstack her shifts. So she would have to do less work, which would mess up the labor numbers. So on other people's shifts, we had to kind of compensate. She talked to people very, very nasty and put it all under the guise of the customers being first. So they just had a thing for each other and they were constantly looking for different angles to try to sabotage the other one. Many times I was caught in the middle of that, you know, them coming to me, trying to get info on the other. It was a lot. It was my years at basically feeling like I was in scandal. I don't know. So
okay,
today I am off work. I am home. I get a call from Janine and Mary Sue. And they're on speakerphone in the office and they're like, hey, so we did a count and the safe is off by $27. And I was like, yeah, it's in the cardboard box top shelf. And they're like, so why is it up there? I'm like, yeah, it's Mike and Paul. We've been doing this forever, you know, so that way if Steve, the regional manager, comes through, safe's safe's even. But yeah, usually it takes a shift or two before we find out what till was wrong or where it was missing, and we just throw it back in. They said, oh, wow. So now they're on speakerphone again. They're like, I've never heard it. You ever, Mary, you ever? No, I've never. Could you come on up and show us where it is? I was like, yeah, I just told you guys, but okay.
And check the top shelf.
Yeah, sure. You know, so I lived about 6 minutes from the job, hopped in the car, bam, got up there and go into the office. And I'm like, yeah, it's right there in that box. They're closer to it. I'm like, yeah, it's right there. And they're like, go ahead, grab it. I'm like, okay, you guys are being weird. You guys are being weird. I go grab the box. I pull it down. Bam, the $27. Okay, yes, boom. Which till does it belong in? So then Janine says to me, well, if we hadn't asked you about that, what would have happened with that $27? Me not understanding I'm being framed, I'm like, sounds like she just asked me the normal order of operations here, legacy accounting. Like I said on the phone, whatever till came up missing, the 27, they just put it back in there. It will come up at the end of the shift, whatever count, you know, no big deal.
Right.
So we've been doing this for years to the point where if the safe is short, either Paul or Michael would just go up to the shelf first before even talking to anyone else. Let me just see what's in the box. Oh, there it is. Boom. We're not even talking about it. And they're like, well, you know, this isn't a policy that's like on the books, and it's something that we've heard of before. We don't know how long you guys have been doing this, and honestly, we're not really sure that you would have told us had we not asked you about it. And I'm like, but then the drawers would have been short, and it would have come up with my numbers being off. What? Anyways, so like, yeah, so we're gonna have to let you go.
Wow.
Just like that. Cost me my 20-something-year-old livelihood.
I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah. No more free manager specials.
Oh.
It was tough. It was tough. Yeah. But that was the cost, Morgan.
That's some legacy accounting.
Legacy accounting.
We got a text here that said, can anything top the $3 trillion lost to the Pentagon, though? Did they ever find that?
I don't believe they did.
Nothing tops that. Right? Like, nothing tops. Yeah. I mean, we truly cannot fully fathom a billion, let alone a trillion, let alone three that could go missing. Like, do you know the amount of, okay, let me go backwards. Yeah. How much money have you ever found in the dryer?
The most?
Yeah.
Maybe like $5.
I once found $47 in the
dryer.
Whoa. And let me tell you this about that. I honest to goodness was like, I'm rich. Like, I obviously am rich now.
What? Who finds $47? Was that your business where you were living? Myself. How about say you live by yourself, even with your parents?
No, I live by myself.
Wowzers.
I was.
You were kind of a ballaholic.
A little bit.
Yeah. Trap god.
A little bit of a trap god. Yeah. Just a touch. But I mean, that was like a, what's happening?
Yeah.
What?
You couldn't imagine not knowing where $47 was at any point.
Literally that.
How could I lose?
Thank you. Thank you for getting to my point so much quicker than I ever could have.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't usually have cash. So I do have the thing where if I have cash and then I don't see it, I could think that I've spent it. Right. The idea that there could have been 47 missing dollars.
Bruh, what didn't get paid?
That I had no idea that that money was gone. Like, there wasn't anything in me when I found it that was like, the 47 I've been missing, the 22, and then the others. Like, literally nothing.
No.
What do you mean trillions? What do you mean you could lose trillions? What do you mean you lost millions? What do you mean you misplaced? What do you mean it's in their accounts and they didn't know? What do you, like, break it down like I'm five. You have to, I'm flipping tables. You absolutely have to make more sense of this.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me that just last year, which was in fact yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You found $21 million. And this year, which is in fact today.
Yeah.
You have found between 15 and 21 other millions of dollars for housing specifically. And then, like, this is what really gets me. The idea that there's some sort of annoyance that this money is earmarked for something. The annoyance needs to be that it wasn't spent on the thing that it's for.
Right.
But this right. is exactly what happens with initiatives. And this is why people are like, I don't want another tax. I don't want another levy. I don't want to have to pay this stuff. This is how business owners will get you saying Airbnb shouldn't have to pay that tax now, should they? Where's the money really go?
Right.
I mean, we also have that question. Where does the money really go? We know where it's supposed to go. We know what it could be doing. What needs to happen is the explanation of how did it never get to where it was supposed to go? Mm-hmm. Outside of it being a choice. Because poverty is a policy choice. Poverty is, this is a choice. Whether it's multiple people's choice, legacy accounting and the way that we're just going to not account for the money.
Right.
We won't report it. There are too many people that do not have places to live for anybody to know where there are millions of extra dollars. The city itself was facing an $18 million shortfall. And you mean to tell me there's just lumps and bumps of money?
Lumps and bumps, bro. Yeah.
Just bags of cash?
Historically, do you know how $21 million usually goes, like, unaccounted for? Someone stole it.
I was like, Ocean's 11?
Right. It's usually a theft of some type.
The idea that you, like, found it. I want to know how much money there was to begin with before you found it. I want to know how it never made its way to the proper place in the first place. 2021 to 2024, you're collecting these fees and they're just sitting in a slush fund that's not even getting slushed? You're not even using it?
Right.
Not when you're out here taking money away from other goods and services that keep us safe so that the police can have more money.
Parks are dark.
Like, this is the time where Mayor Wilson, where you at? Ain't you supposed to be like, hey, man, I had a plan around here. Are y'all sabotaging me?
Somebody said, Morgan, flipping tables in the temple. That's what I'm talking about. You got to get in that temple. You got to flip them tables.
I don't understand. This is not the kind of thing that should just be a breeze-through story. The way that the other previous one was treated as a right. breeze-through story.
Right.
Every single day you see coverage of the housing crisis in Portland and the homelessness crisis and what are we going to do? And more sweeps and no sweeps and more sweeps and no sweeps. Like, shelter, no shelter, closing the shelters, opening a warming shelter. Mm. Can't do new day shelter, but you ain't got nowhere to sleep. Mm. They're literally playing in our faces. And then, on top of it all, you're just hiding money? It isn't even like this money was ended up going to something else. This money was just sat. That is how you know it's a policy choice. There is nowhere where you can just be missing 21 milli.
Nope.
What do you mean you're not reporting these numbers? What do you mean city council has no idea? Who does?
I also would like to know, what was the game plan once it was discovered And they were like, ooh, you know what? Let's sit on this. Let's not let city council be made aware of what we found. What then was plan B? How was this money going to find its way back into where it is supposed to go? Like, we're just going to sneak it back into budgets for different initiatives that are like, how was that going to work? They who found the money, ye who had the brilliant plan of not telling anyone until now, basically.
It certainly makes the former Housing Bureau director's claim of being pushed out for finding that money seem a whole lot more credible if you didn't think it did before.
Right. Right.
Because if I'm the one who finds that money and I'm asking, hey, what is this money?
It's a lot over here.
I hope I'm not misremembering that part of the story. It was last year and all.
Yeah, it was definitely last year. We got a text. I once got fired by a boss who said I had done something that made her mad. I asked her what I had done. She replied, I don't remember what it was, but it made me mad. So you're fired.
Nope. Absolutely not.
In retrospect, I'd say I caught a break.
No, 1,000%. You absolutely did. And also, what? You made me mad. So mad you're fired, but I don't remember what it was that you did that made me so mad that you're now fired. If you don't, sorry, about to cuss on the radio. Shut up. Like, what are you doing? Why? What?
Look here. You got to write me up or something.
The it power needs to troops.
Be, yeah. HR. There's got to be a pattern here of, reprimanding. Something like you can't just you made me mad today. Go home, clock out. If I made you mad, so bad that you want to break protocol, you should probably go home,
bruh. I have a big problem with the way that they have already been talking about how to allocate these funds, because all of a sudden these earmarked very specific funds that apparently were so specific they couldn't figure out how to spend them on the specific thing they needed to spend it on previously. Now they're like, well, you could just throw it in the general fund. Maybe, you know, throw a couple of pennies on over to the poors and then put the rest in the general fund. Is the housing crisis fixed?
You didn't know?
Are the folks off the street? Are there people who are facing eviction right now? Are they set? Was it just last week we were doing the story about Care Oregon not paying the rental assistance they approved?
It was just
for a woman for 6 months?
It was last week. Yep. Yep.
So and Care Oregon's response wasn't we didn't have the funding. Care Oregon's response wasn't, well, we were waiting for the bag from the 21 mil to come out. Like, we...
No.
It wasn't, we didn't have it.
It was more or less like, ooh, our bad.
Literally not even our bad. More like a reporter got in touch with y'all and you were like, ooh, you got her number? Could you just call her and let her know that we'll start those payments now?
Could you let her know she's next in line? Have all her paperwork.
No, sorry. No. Don't know how this happened. No. Explanation of how I got approved for something. And then I had to come up with how to pay for it when I can't afford it.
Bruh.
And everybody involved knows I can't afford it because I'm in the low-income housing that I can't afford with my Social Security and a roommate for a $1,600 apartment, which is that low income? Like, egregious doesn't even begin. This is, like... I want to say it's incompetence, but it's very, very much on purpose.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely zero way that we can continue to keep the people in office and vote for more people who have plans to do absolutely this, who have plans to do nothing more than obfuscate. I had no idea there was $40 million sitting about. Like, there is absolutely no excuse that we are just now talking about audits of every bureau. Why didn't that happen the day after y'all found $21 million last year?
Bruh.
Why weren't we auditing bureaus when y'all facing a shortfall? Not on some, is everybody pinching their pennies right, but is there any extra money around this? You know? Hey. I heard sometimes if you look at the books, there's money in it.
Sometimes. You look at the books and you cook in the books.
This is just, you're not addressing anything. And we cannot let this stand. Like, the fact of the matter is, it is this kind of policy and these choices that get folks so disenfranchised with government and what it can and should do,
yep,
that it makes you truly believe never could happen. Why do I pay taxes? I have no representation. I have no help. And I can't disagree with any of that. What I do disagree with is that it can be different. Mm. I firmly believe that government can absolutely work for the people, but it cannot do that under capitalism.
Mm-mm.
And it will not do that.
Mm-mm.
This is an industry. So every time you hear somebody talking about the nonprofit industrial complex, remind them of the homeless industrial complex. You think which one came first, fam?
Mm.
Which one comes from the other?
The prison industrial complex. Throw that in the mix. All intertwined.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm.
But these are policy choices. We cannot let up on this. This is the kind of thing that, like, you got to show your math. And you got to explain it to everybody, like, you're five. Like, because you're doing the five-year-old logic. Like, get grown with us. This makes no sense.
Show your work.
You absolutely have to show your work. You do not get to, like, come back to us and say, hey, guys, we found that money, and that money now gets allocated to XYZ. Absolutely not. Accountability isn't just like someone saying there was a mistake. Like, that's not what accountability looks like. And it's not like I'm looking to harangue someone in the street. What we need is for institutions to be for real for once. What actually happened here? Do the thing that you expect of your employees. Do the thing that you expect of somebody who has done you wrong. Explain to me where this happened, why this happened. How did we get here? How do we move forward?
Right.
They will spend $20 million on audits and consultants before they figure out how to spend $20 million on homeless people. We cannot take that. You got some music?
Yeah. We'll be right back.
You know I want to say something.
Yeah, that's why I'm just looking at you.
The real question of the day is, did any of you know that Sean Paul, who you were just listening to the sweet, sweet tunes of.
Yeah, tune.
Is not saying Shauna Paul.
No, he's not.
He is saying Chander Paul.
Who apparently
who's a soccer player.
Yeah, famous footballer.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chander Paul.
Football.
Yeah, all these years.
All these years, Chander I'm Paul. Saying Shauna Paul. And not so is the rest of the world.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not just me.
Me from the DJ booth. Sean Paul.
Every single person that knows Sean Paul thought he was saying Sean Paul.
Yeah.
Because when he told that story, he was like, yeah, nobody. I was saying Chandra Paul. Like, he's calling himself like the Jordan.
Right.
Of dancehall.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like, so, yeah, literally like saying Jordan.
Yeah.
By shooting trash into the trash can.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh.
We all used to do that.
I see what you mean. Yeah. I thought you were calling. I thought you were going to a different place. No, I was like, no. Wow.
Office hoops.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan, you spent a lot of time working within the Broadway community.
I did.
You've seen many productions come and go.
I have.
Snowflakes on Ice.
Disney's latest production.
Apparently. Yeah. Yeah. Disney's subdivision, DHS, producing Snowflakes on Ice.
Disney Homeland Security.
Oh, whoa, Disney. Boy. You got your hands in everything.
We're definitely getting fired.
Last weekend, people protested Ice. Families were there, kids were there, and Ice responded the way they always do. Tear gas, chemical munitions, force deployed in a residential area. And if you live here, I know that sounds familiar. Portland has been here before. We'll never forget 2020 when tear gas was used night after night, drifting into apartment buildings, lingering in neighborhoods, poisoning people who weren't even protesting. That didn't stop because it was wrong. It stopped because people fought back. Fast forward to now, and ICE is doing it again. Right in front of us. Mayor Keith Wilson condemned ICE actions. He said, quote, to those who continue to work for ICE, resign. To those who control this facility, leave. Through your use of violence and the trampling of the Constitution, you've all lost all legitimacy and replaced it with shame. Ask yourselves, why have you gassed children? Ask yourselves, why you continue to work for an agency responsible for murders on American streets. That's strong. And it should be said. But here's a question we have to ask next. Does the mayor understand that violence doesn't only look like tear gas and batons? Because when the city sweeps homeless camps, displaces people farther from care, breaks up communities, and pushes people into more danger, that is also state violence. When harm is inflicted through policy instead of weapons, it's still harm. ICE's violence is obvious because it's loud and chemical and immediate. But displacement, exposure, denial of care, those are slower forms of violence that still shorten lives. And though, excuse me, and the through line is this, state-sanctioned violence is still violence, no matter which agency does it or how clean the press release sounds.
Mm.
ICE gassing children should make funding politically impossible. Defunding ICE isn't radical. It's the bare minimum response to an agency that keeps hurting people on U.S. soil. Portland has seen this playbook before, though. And if we don't call all of it what it is, not just the parts that look ugly on camera, it will keep happening. What ICE is doing in Portland isn't isolated. Minneapolis isn't isolated. Refugees, houseless neighbors, protesters, immigrants, black communities, indigenous communities. These aren't separate stories. They're the same story told to different people at different times with different uniforms. The state wants us to believe our problems are each other. That immigrants are the threat, that unhoused people are the problem, that protesters are dangerous, that some people deserve safety and others don't. That lie only works if we stay divided. Because the truth is, we have far more in common with each other under the boot of the state than we will ever have with the wealthy people who own our government, fund these agencies, and benefit from this violence. ICE doesn't exist to keep us safe. Tear gas doesn't exist to keep us safe. Sweeps don't exist to keep anyone housed. These are tools of control used to protect a system built to serve wealth, power, and mediocrity at the top. And that system only survives if we keep believing the fantasy that this country is fair, that the violence is accidental, that the people in charge are somehow more capable, more deserving, more legitimate than the rest of us.
Mm. Talk to them.
Listen, I'm with you in the way that I'm glad Mayor Wilson made a statement like that. It's really about action.
Hello.
You know, we spoke with this with the statement that the mayor in Minnesota made, and Governor Tim Walz also making a statement condemning ICE. What's being done to protect our citizens, though? What's being done to protect us?
I did appreciate the if you work for ICE, resign. I think that's an important message that the job you're doing is simply harm. There is no patriotic duty. There is no we're getting rooting the bads out of the good. There actually isn't. There's not one true justification.
None.
To be an ICE agent, I do not at all care about how much money you could get paid, and I don't care about what a signing bonus could look like.
Especially because you're not getting them.
Especially because you're not going to get it. But I don't care. Excuse me, I didn't mean to yell in your ear. I don't care. Because at some point, you have to understand that no amount of money is worth being a part of state-sanctioned violence. No amount of money is worth you ripping families apart. No amount of money is worth you deporting people to the wrong place. No amount of money is worth you deporting people, I'm going to say, for the most part, period, because you're doing it wrong anyway.
Yep.
No amount of money is worth you looking the other way when a detainee is dying in your custody.
Or being assaulted.
No amount of money should put you in a position where you are watching people die, or you are having a hand in kidnapping them. Is anybody explaining to you when you do your morning meetings before the jump outs that, like, why somebody would be going from Portland to New Orleans to Texas to Michigan before they then get sent to Guatemala where they have never been? At what point do you realize that you put those people on that plane? I'm not actually trying to appeal to anybody who is an ICE agent because I don't think there's anything to actually appeal to. If you have made that decision to do that job, like I said, I appreciate Mayor Wilson saying you should resign because the job you do is dangerous. It is harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It is violence for no other reason than to enforce the will of this administration, and it's miscalculated, importance.
Yeah.
All of that said, people are being traumatized beyond what the agents can fathom. And I know that because the agents are making up harm being done to them that isn't being done. Agents are jumping in front of cars and saying they got hit when they didn't. Agents are shooting literal innocent civilians and going to work the next day.
Mm-hmm. saying they were under threat when they weren't.
None of this is acceptable. None of this is, you know, any of the things. Our city needs, the leadership needs to be doing more actions, less words. Also, if your words are going to be what they were for ICE, I need to see your actions doing that for the people here. Mm-hmm. We need to see you care a little bit more about the people that live in your city. We need to see you stop imposing state violence on us. For us to believe that you are anywhere near helping stop this, the violence from the federal government. You are actually in control. You do not have to let these people be here. Yes, in fact, the police can arrest these agents for breaking the law.
Right.
Police have to be directed to do certain things, though, right? And I wonder who they're supposed to listen to.
We got a text. AJ said, crying Keith following Mayor Brandon and trying to speak up would be cute if this wasn't a dangerous and deadly occupation on an occupation.
Hello!
Until he revoked that ICE permit, I can't take his little statement serious. We want abolition.
That's it.
You listen to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's another amazing episode of News of My Fiancé, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. of Residual Audio. Bum, 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 bum. Playlist is updated. Songs are listed. Kyle's going to make sure to get all your texts into the description of the episode. And you know what the deal is. Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next Monday at 6:30 on YouTube.
None of this can be reformed. Bye.